verses 1 to 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Val and Esther. Would you like to come up and bring us the word this morning? Thank you.
From teaching this morning from the book of 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3. And this is because right now, I hope everyone can hear me. We live in a world where there are so many voices speaking to us. When you go online, there are so many teachings you're going to hear, and everyone claims to come from God. So the Bible has given us a guide on who to listen to, which Val has read, but we're going to read it again and study it verse by verse. Hallelujah. So verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. This place, John is writing to Christians because it starts with beloved. The translation Val read says friends. So he's writing to people that already know God. And he's saying, do not believe every spirit. And this is to say, the first point I have here, it says it's a warning call. It's a warning and a call to discernment for believers. It's a warning because the devil is out to destroy people. And he's not going to come to destroy people as the devil. Two major tools the devil used to destroy people are deceit and false prophets. So he's going to pretend to come as an angel of light. Everyone you listen to is from God. They all claim to be angels of light. And the devil, which is the Antichrist, also have false prophets, people that claim to hear from God and teaching people on the right ways to go. So as Christians, the Bible is warning us that do not believe every spirit, but test. That's to tell you that as a Christian, you have to have a healthy sense of skepticism. You don't have to believe every teaching you hear. Because once you open up yourself, you cannot just be open-minded. Not every spirit that comes to teach you about God is actually from God. I like the way 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 to 15 puts it. It says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." So it is very important to examine what spirit a person is working with when they come to talk to you about Christ. And this reminds me of the Berean Christians. After the apostles finish teaching, they go back to check what is the apostle Paul saying. Is it true? Does it align with the scriptures? Does it align with what the Bible teaches us? We are to have that mind like the Berean Christians, be very skeptical about the things we listen to at this point. So, how do we know the Spirit of God? Verse 2 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." So for us to know the spirit to listen to, the prophets to listen to, anyone that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is the person we are to listen to. It is very important because Jesus was fully God and he came as a man. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of Virgin Mary. I've heard a lot of people talk about Jesus Christ, and some people will say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, but as a prophet. No, Jesus Christ was not just a prophet, but the Son of God. He was in heaven, and Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he came in as man. So any prophet we are going to listen to has to agree, align with this. And when we say Jesus Christ came as man, so there are so many things I've heard, but for the sake of this teaching, I want to say Jesus Christ had physical body and blood, and he lived a sinless life. That's to tell you that even as a man, he was still fully God, because man, you cannot live a sinless life. It's because he was a deity. He didn't live being God when he was a man. He lived here on earth as man and also as God. And that's how he was able to live a sinless life. And this is what makes his sacrifice acceptable for the remission of sins of the whole world, because he was perfect. So there are so many people that witness his coming, like the Apostle John. If we go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, Apostle John said they saw Jesus Christ. They touched him. Sometimes when we talk about Jesus, some people feel like he's a spirit. No, Jesus is not a spirit. He lived on earth as man, not as a spirit. He had flesh and blood. There were people that touched him. They heard him. They felt him. They were able to feel him. So now, why does Satan want to deceive you? Let's go to verse 3. It says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So what these people want to teach us is that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Or maybe Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but he's not God. They just twist the whole thing. So why does Satan want to deceive you? The goal of Satan is to weaken your faith as a believer. If he's able to make you believe that Jesus Christ did not come in flesh, it will make you doubt every other thing about your faith. And Jesus Christ said, spirits don't die. When he appeared after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples. They were scared. They thought they've seen a spirit. He said, no, look at me. Feel me. Touch me. It is me. Spirits do not have flesh and blood. So Jesus Christ actually came in the flesh, and he went to the cross. He died and was resurrected and received back in glory. So the devil wants to deceive you just to weaken your faith so you don't believe in Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, another reason why the devil wants to deceive you, you will not be saved. So if the devil is able to make you believe that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, then how can we be saved? And how can we live a righteous life? Satan doesn't want us to live a righteous life, so he's going to keep trying everything to deceive us. And another reason why Satan wants to deceive you not to believe that Jesus came in the flesh is because Jesus was able to live a righteous life. He lived a perfect life here on earth. And that's why the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain grace, obtain help in time of need. I can't really remember. Let me read it. I think that's the book of Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every aspect as we are, yet committing anything. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, without fear, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus lived a righteous life. The devil wants to make you believe that you cannot live a righteous life. And the only way for you to live a righteous life is through Jesus Christ, because he was the only one that could live a righteous life. So, if the devil is able to make you believe that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that means there's no one that has lived a righteous life. No one is perfect. So the way to gain this righteous life is through Jesus. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to believe. So how does Satan deceive? Like we've heard, that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. If he can get you to believe this, then he can make you doubt everything Jesus did for our salvation. You can imagine how many people have been deceived. I think aside from Christianity, I don't think there's any other religion that believes that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, still God and still man. The question today is, what do we do so we are not victims of false teachers? The first point I have here says, know your Bible. You should know Jesus for yourself, not just what you've heard someone say to you. You should be able to study your Bible so that when people come with teachings that do not align with your faith, you can defend it. You already have this conviction from what you've studied that no, this is not true. This is a false teaching. And another way we can help ourselves not to be victims is consistent attending of fellowship. And I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. I'm going to read from the King James Version. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more little children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. From this scripture, we can see that God has given people gifts that we can benefit from and help us to grow to maturity. What God does is to give people different gifts to help build the body of Christ, to bring us to that place of maturity where we can look like Jesus. The goal of a true preacher is to make you look like Jesus. And when we come to that place of maturity, we can hardly be deceived, where we can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'll give you this illustration. There was this time, one of my dad's friends, he came one time, a pastor, and he started telling my dad what he has learned recently, that the way we've been worshiping God is not the right way. My father was like, okay, please tell me. He was very much interested to hear, how do we worship God? And he was like, remember what God told Moses, take off your shoes, that we are not supposed to use shoes when we are in fellowship. There are so many teachings. If you don't know your Bible, you are going to be toast. Today you are here, there are people that will come and tell you that, yes, even though Jesus, they will emphasize so much on works. Works is very much important, but what can lead to salvation is the sacrifice on the cross, not by our works. If it's by works, then Jesus Christ will have no need to come. The major reason why Jesus Christ came was to die for our sins. So you have to come to the point where you know your Bible, and you can only attain this maturity, not just by you studying your Bible alone, but consistent fellowship. So that today we are not running this way. Oh, this is the way to Jesus today. Tomorrow somebody comes with another gospel teaching us something different. And then the next point is prayers. Prayers is very important. I think prayer gives life to every other aspect of every other aspect of our faith, like studying the Bible. I've learned this from my own personal experience. If you spend time praying before opening the Bible to study, you are going to benefit much compared to when you just study. There are people that study the Bible and they end up living more confused. And so what will help you to understand the Bible and align your life with the teachings of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. And you have to go to God in prayer. So His Spirit is going to guide you to understand and have, and then give you the grace to live the life you are supposed to live. And then this is not different from the others I've said, know your Jesus. You have to know Jesus to the point where when you hear a false teaching, His Spirit in you is going to resist that false teaching. There are so many times I've come across people that have said things to me, and immediately I didn't need to run back to my Bible to go and check, oh, Father, what is this? What scripture do I need to check? The Spirit of God already in me resisted it immediately. There was this day I was out with a friend for coffee, and she just stopped the car somewhere, and she said, Esther, do you know that all you need to go to heaven is just believe in Jesus? I said, yes, that's true. And then she said, we might struggle with sin and not be able to change. As long as you believe in Jesus, you still go to heaven. And I looked at her, I was like, but if I've met with Jesus, it should show that I've met with Jesus. There's no way you will meet with Jesus and then your lifestyle, there's no change. It's not possible. Everybody that met with Jesus in the Bible, genuinely, you could tell that this person had met with Jesus. Remember the woman at the well side? She came, and after she met Jesus, what did she do? She ran back into the city preaching, come and see a man that told me all I ever did. Is not this Christ? There's no way you will meet with Jesus. There are so many examples of people that have met with Jesus. Their life did not remain the same. There should be a transformation. Once you start taking even your Christian life serious, people should be able to tell. Recently, Toby looked at me and was like, this is my wife. You're different. Because I started taking these things serious. And so much changed about me to the point where he was like, this is so shocking. Normally, in the morning when I wake up, I'm not a morning person. I need to go online, look for things to cheer myself up, you know. But it has changed. I wake up as I'm cooking, I'm doing everything, I'm praying. There's something different. I'm listening to the word of God. I didn't need so much other things to cheer me up. So there's no way you meet with Jesus or you take your life serious that people cannot tell that there's a difference. There's always a difference. Check through the Bible, you see everyone that met Jesus. There's one that came to Jesus at night. Was that Nicodemus? And then he said, when he came to Jesus, after that encounter, I think when they were sitting down, because he said he was a teacher also, when they sat down talking about, was it to crucify Jesus or one of the apostles, like to discipline them for teaching about Jesus, he said something different from what was expected of him. And they said, are you also a disciple of this Jesus? So if you meet Jesus, people can tell. Your family, friends around can tell. And there are people that want to make you believe that it's not possible to live a righteous life. That's not true. When you have the Spirit of God in you, once those teachings come, you can resist it immediately. Because Jesus lived in the flesh and he lived a perfect life. The God we serve is one that lived a perfect life, that we can now go to him boldly. He understood what it meant to be a man because he was once a man on earth, and we can ask him for grace. So you have to know your Jesus. And then another one is godly company. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So that means the company you keep, from the discussions you get with that person, you are influenced by that person. If you keep a Christian company, it's going to help you grow in faith and grow to maturity, where you learn how to discern spirits and you are not tossed to and fro, like the Bible said that we read. So my question today before I leave is that what commitment are you making to fortify yourself so you are not victims of false prophets? Remember, there are many spirits. There are true spirits, the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. And the Antichrist is not going to come to you as Antichrist. He's going to come as an angel of light. So are his false prophets. They are going to come teaching you that they are teaching you about God. So now, what are you going to do to fortify yourself so you are not victims? There are people that have been able, there are cities, for instance, that have fortified themselves that the enemy can hardly penetrate. That's how a Christian life should be. We shouldn't just be open-minded where everyone can gain access to our lives. We should be able to fortify ourselves where we come to that point that when we hear someone speak, we can tell if this is of God. And don't forget, any spirit we are to listen to must agree that Jesus Christ came in flesh. Came in flesh. It's very important. And as a man, he was still God, which gave him the grace to live a perfect life. So this is where I'm going to stop for today. And before I leave, I would just like us to pray. In Jesus' name, Father, Lord in heaven, we want to thank you for your word which we've heard today. We ask that above everything, we know we can't live this life on our own, but your spirit in us can help us. So we ask for your help, that we'll be discerning, that we'll not be tossed to and fro by every teaching we hear, but we should be able to tell which is from God. We ask that you help us, and help us to grow to maturity. Help us that as we go, we'll be like the Berean Christians. We'll come to that place of maturity where we have healthy skepticism about the things we listen to, because your plan for us is to listen to things that will build us, that will help us grow. Father, we ask that you help us to come to that point where we give ourselves to those teachings that will help us grow. We ask that you do this and take all the glory. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.